All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I am your host, Brendan Farrell. This week, we're going to do something a little different. I'm actually going to put out two episodes this week, one from the state side, one from the Ole Miss side of the Egg Bowl, because, that is this week. Thankfully for all of us, it is not on Thanksgiving this year. But yeah, today I am joined by Benjamin Rosenberg from the Commercial Dispatch. You can find Benjamin on Twitter at BX Rosenberg. How are you?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. I always appreciate your time. Obviously, difficult season so far for state, but just how are you feeling, heading into what is still probably their biggest week of the season?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's still a big deal no matter what's been going on throughout each team's season. I know people talk about throwing out the records for rivalry games, but unfortunately for the Bulldogs, you can't really do that here because the Bulldogs really are what their record says they are. It's certainly been a difficult first season under new head coach Jeff Lebby, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. They just weren't able to get enough impact players on defense out of the transfer portal and in recruiting. And most of the starters who they do have just probably wouldn't start at most other schools in the SEC. You've got Isaac Smith at safety and Stone Blanton at linebacker. They're the two leading tacklers in the SEC. And they're good football players, but in part they rack up so many tackles because the defense is just on the field so much of the time. And that's really been kind of the story of the season. The offense has been good at times, but I don't think it's been quite the explosive unit that people expected Lebby would sort of bring. Of course, Blake Shapen, your starting quarterback, sustains a season-ending injury in week four against Florida. So since then, a true freshman, Michael Van Buren, has been the starting quarterback. And he's done pretty well. His first two starts were on the road against Texas and Georgia. So can't really start with two tougher games than that. But he's comported himself pretty well. He's made some big throws downfield. He's had a real good chemistry with Kevin Coleman, who's been far and away their leading receiver this year, and some other guys as well. But MSU hasn't been able to protect him particularly well. They've allowed a lot of sacks, and turnovers have also been kind of an issue. He's been strip sacked for a lost fumble in each of the last two games. The one last week against Missouri was returned for a touchdown that really zapped MSU's early momentum in that game. So there have been some bright spots, but it's certainly been a year to forget overall for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it just seems like, there are sort of the usual, bumps along the way when it comes to having a first year head coach. But just how have you seen this team kind of, maybe grow over the course of the year?
I mean, they've been in some games against really good teams in this conference. They scored 31 points on the road against Georgia. Alabama and has scored more, I believe, against them. They were in the game against Texas A&M, a good team at home, into the fourth quarter. But then they also have had some performances that really kind of undid that progress, like against Arkansas, when they gave up 58 points and turned the ball over five times. And the offense just kind of went missing for most of the game against Tennessee. They have actually been able to run the ball a little bit better in recent weeks. The offensive line has really made some good progress in terms of run blocking. And Devon Booth, a transfer they got from Utah State in the spring portal window, has gone over 120 yards in each of his last two games. So he's been state's best offensive player, certainly in the month of November. But the defense just can't really get stops with any consistency, and they haven't been playing complementary football, as Jeff Lebby says so frequently. When the offense plays well, the defense doesn't, and on the rare occasion the defense is able to put some good plays together, the offense won't take advantage of it. So that's really been the story.
Yeah, this is your second Egg Bowl. How are you feeling about going to Oxford for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Oxford for basketball and baseball and softball, but never for football. So this will be my first time covering a game at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. It looks Yeah, it looks nice, and the photos I've seen from other beat writers and on TV. So yeah, it should be a fun experience. I don't know if I'll be able to take a look at the tailgating scene on the Grove. It's supposed to be a pretty cold day, at least by Mississippi standards. I see the high is not even supposed to reach 50 on Friday, but I'm certainly grateful that it's on the afternoon on Friday rather than a night game on Thanksgiving, because it'll just be a day trip for me from Starkville, and I won't get home super late. So glad for that.
It's definitely your kind of weather, though, for sure, though.
Oh yeah, no, I grew up in, I'm from Chicago originally and lived in New Hampshire as well. So I've experienced cold weather before. But yeah, we've had some hot games through most of the season. So I guess it'll be a welcome change.
Yeah, so what's kind of the buzz been about sort of motivation this week? Because I feel like that's kind of the sort of X factor here of this game is who actually wants to get up and play this game, right? Because State cannot qualify for a bowl game. Ole Miss was playoffs or bust this year and at three losses and, pretty much no chance of going to Atlanta. You kind of figure that they're out of the playoff picture at this point. So it's not like they quite have a ton to play for. So has that been addressed at all so far this week?
I mean, I think a game like this creates its own motivation, no matter what's gone on the previous 11 games. State has, I think, close to 50 kids on its roster who grew up in Mississippi and certainly understand the importance of this game. Ole Miss has quite a few as well, and it's a lot of kids who, grew up playing with each other, playing against each other. So there are going to be a lot of familiar faces on opposite sidelines, and that extends to the coaches as well, because Jeff Lebby was the offensive coordinator for 2 years under Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss in 2020 and 2021, and the Rebels had the best total offense in the SEC in both those years. So yeah, I think it's not going to be hard to get up for, just because of how long these teams have been going at each other, and people, you understand what it means to the entire state, both fan bases, both schools. So I don't think, but yeah, that won't really be an issue. And honestly, I know the record for Mississippi State is what it is, but it doesn't seem like the players have been, just like sick and tired of coming into the building every day. At least that's not the vibe I've been getting. Last year, I think there was a little bit of that as they struggled through conference play, but they seem to be buying in a little bit more with this new coaching staff.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting number that you put out there with the number of kids on the roster who are have Mississippi ties, because clearly, like you said, they don't really nobody needs to explain to them the significance of the Egg Bowl. But I bring that up because of just how much Ole Miss raids the transfer portal every year. Do you think like that's an advantage for State here that that game might not mean as much to a lot of the transfers that Ole Miss has that are either or both not from Mississippi or just clearly didn't come up growing and playing at Ole Miss and all that?
I don't think so, because I think, first of all, Ole Miss still has plenty of in-state players on its roster, and second of all, it doesn't take long once you move here and start playing at either Ole Miss or Mississippi State to understand the meaning of this rivalry and the history behind it, and just how important it is to everyone here. So I think, if it's not this rivalry, all these players at their previous schools, if they've come in through the portal, they've been part of rivalry games in, whether it's elsewhere in the SEC, in the Big Ten, or other conferences they've been a part of. So it's not too different. They're going to get it. They understand what it means. And yeah, I know. And Ole Miss still, they're not completely out of the playoff picture because they weren't the only team who imploded last weekend. Certainly a lot could still shake out. That could, lead them in their favor. So, I think as long as that thread still exists for them, they won't have a problem getting up for it.
Yeah, so what do you think of the sort of matchup between State's defense and Ole Miss's offense? Because that seems to be like a true disaster for State, because It seems like every possible stat you could come up with and check for state and their defense, it usually starts with a one and then another one, if not a two. So how is state going to piece together something on defense?
That's actually not the side of the ball I'm more worried about right now.
Really?
I'll talk about that matchup. And it certainly doesn't look good for Mississippi State because of, just how proficient Jackson Dart has been and how dynamic Ole Miss's receivers are. And of course, Mississippi State just has not been able to pressure quarterbacks or cover receivers particularly well. I don't know. I haven't seen an update on Trey Harris this for the, yet this week. I know obviously he might be the best receiver in all of college football, but he's missed three games with injuries and been limited in others, and he's still already over 1,000 yards, which is just insane. But I think this game is going to be won and lost on the other side of the ball because Ole Miss's pass rush is just eye-popping, the numbers they're putting up in terms of tackles for loss and sacks. They do a really good job against the run too. And Mississippi State has had a really hard time protecting the quarterback. So I worry a little bit for Michael Van Buren's health in this game. I really hope he can, make it out okay without being banged up too badly. And I think that offensively, MSU will just get overwhelmed at the point of attack. And that's why I know the Egg Bowl is usually, there's a lot of weirdness and chaos and things going on, but I think when there's never been this big of a mismatch between the teams in many years.
Yeah, I would generally agree with that. I did want to go back to what you mentioned with Ole Miss's pass rush. I mean, obviously we know the numbers for Ole Miss's pass rush. It's off the charts level good. But also Michael Van Buren has really struggled with dealing with pressure, which makes sense, for a true freshman. I wouldn't expect a true freshman to have the poise under pressure that even somebody a veteran like Blake Shapen might, but his pressure to sack percentage is 23.5, which is really high, and that's not a oh we need to improve up front type stat. That is regardless of how often we give it pressure, that's how often he turns that pressure into sacks. So some of that is on him.
Yeah, no, and Jeff Lebby's talked about that too. He needs to do better at moving the pocket around, finding the soft spots, escaping when there is pressure. I'd like to see him step up and run a little bit more because he's certainly capable of making plays with his legs. We saw that in his first start when he rushed for a touchdown against Texas, which was actually the first touchdown that Texas allowed in the red zone all season to that point. Yeah, for whatever reason, I know he's faced a lot of really good teams. He hasn't looked quite as comfortable running the ball since then. The Arkansas game was a little bit of an exception. A couple plays around the goal line where he, would just take off and scored a couple touchdowns on designed runs. But yeah, I know the offensive line has had some success in recent weeks when it comes to run blocking, but that has not really extended to pass protection.
Yeah, it is rather crazy. I was looking at that Arkansas game again. 31 of 37, or sorry, 22 of 31. I was looking at the wrong column. 22 of 31, a couple touchdowns, a couple picks though. But it's just funny to see that and 309 yards, and it just not mattering at all.
That was the worst defensive performance in a season full of them. But the offense was responsible for some of it too, because you fumble on the second play of the game, give them a short field. Van Buren is strip sacked again in the second half. He throws a couple picks in the fourth quarter. That was a rough one in terms of just ball security and taking care of it for him. His worst game was definitely the game against Tennessee, when he was only 10 for 26, under 100 yards, and threw an early interception. But bounced back and did better against Missouri last week, with the exception of that early strip sack when he had to step up in the pocket, stumbled as he did so, and then just had to regain his balance and left the ball in a very precarious position, and it got knocked out. And unfortunately, that's a tough way to learn when it gets scooped up and returned, close to 70 yards for a touchdown. And you know, before that though, MSU's defense was really they were very active. They came, Missouri only had negative 3 yards on its first six plays in that game. We saw a sack from Zachary Tillman. Isaac Smith created the initial pressure on that play. A tackle for loss from Stone Blanton. We saw Hunter Washington just violently blow up a screen pass that nearly was a fumble. So, I mean, they can play well in spurts, but they just haven't been able to sustain it for long.
Yeah, unfortunately, that Tennessee game is probably the most comparable matchup, I would think, just of how great Tennessee has been up front this year. You imagine you're probably going to get something similar from Ole Miss, too.
Yeah, certainly they've got the depth on the defensive line and the numbers in terms of sacks and tackles for loss that are, you know, the most similar to what State is going to see from Ole Miss. So yeah, it'll be a tough matchup, but I guess the good news is they've seen something like it before. And it was earlier this month. They had a bye week after that before coming back home last week to play Missouri. So yeah, they maybe they'll be a little bit more prepared this time, and maybe just with the energy and motivation that this game provides, they'll be able to run on adrenaline for a quarter or so and not let it get too out of hand until later on.
Yeah, rivalry week is a funny thing. I mean, even last year, I think most people were thinking that it would be a blowout, and it wasn't, though there were probably some extenuating circumstances on the Ole Miss side of things. But it is a weird time of year. Certainly, you definitely don't want to lose to your rival. I can speak as a Florida alum. Yes, last Saturday was a good amount of fun, but also, I look at, like, for example, Florida State this week. I'm like, well, losing to Florida State would undo like several weeks of goodwill and momentum, and I can't imagine that, say Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss would want to have the embarrassment of losing to a Mississippi State team that has only beaten one FBS opponent so far this year.
Right. And I think that's the case with Florida State too. So yeah, losing to this Florida State team and losing to this Mississippi State team would probably be about even on the embarrassment scale.
Yeah, I just and the fact that one FBS team is UMass is not great.
Right. I mean, the Toledo game, I think if they play that game now, State probably wins. But at the time, that just opened all of our eyes to just the type of horror show that this season was going to become. Not because State lost that game, but the score, which was 41-17, it honestly could have been worse. The score line almost flattered Mississippi State a little bit, just because of how thoroughly they were blown off the line of scrimmage and both sides of the ball, especially the first half. I mean, Toledo was on top 45, 35-3 at one point. So yeah, that was a low point in the season that's kind of been full of them.
Yeah, though if we're talking about non-conference games from earlier in the year,
Arizona State.
yeah, at least Arizona State looks pretty good, and there's no shame in getting run over by Cam Scataboo at this point. So,
Yeah, nobody knew who he was until that night. Now everybody knows his name. So yeah, definitely one of the big surprises nationally this season have been the Sun Devils. And yeah, I think that can also be a blueprint, and you know, hiring a young coach who, you know, understands the area, understands what it's like to recruit, and knows what it takes to win there. Obviously, it's worked there in Tempe with Kenny Dillingham, and I know Jeff Levy's not from Mississippi; he didn't go to Mississippi State, but he's been around the block. He knows the SEC, and you know, he's been a good offensive coordinator everywhere he's gone. So, could be a little bit of a blueprint and give State fans hope that things will get better in the next year or two.
especially since year one for Dillingham went pretty
Yeah, I
rough.
believe they were 3-9.
Yeah, granted there were also extenuating circumstances there with, some, holdover NCAA, violations and punishments and all that. But year one does not a coach make, though maybe don't tell Alabama fans that.
Yeah, no, and honestly, if this was any other program, People wouldn't be. I mean, they're 8-3. They're still in the rankings, and they've got a still an outside shot to make it to the expanded playoff. So yeah, no, the sky is not falling in Tuscaloosa, much as it might seem like it is.
But yeah, it is rather funny to me to see just how broadly, like, or just how big of a gap people perceive there to be between Ole Miss and Mississippi State right now. Like, for example, when I look at like the sort of game preview for, I mean, just like a lot of different things. Sorry, when I look at, like, for example, SP Plus, has the projected margin for Ole Miss at 35.6. I think Vegas right now has Ole Miss as like 24-point favorites, which is actually a little bit of a decrease from what the Texas game when they were like 38-point underdogs or something nuts. Good teams win, elite teams cover, and last time I checked, State is 6-5, I think, against the spread this year. So, there is
Didn't
that.
actually know that. But yeah, I know they have covered in against some pretty crazy point spreads this season. Texas, Georgia, Texas A&M all come to mind. I think they covered against Tennessee too, because that was a big spread. So yeah, I don't know. I guess they yeah, I guess ideally for Vegas, right? Every team would be roughly 500 against the spread. So maybe they know something.
I found what I was looking for. College Football Insiders, they do pretty solid matchup previews. Shout out to them. Has this game at roughly 38-15 for Ole Miss, but also a 96% chance of winning for Ole Miss. So, the numbers do not like this matchup for State, and I think it's pretty obvious because it's not only just that State's defense is really bad. It's just hard to find an aspect or a matchup for really anything that State does where it's advantageous for them. I mean, you can maybe make the argument that they can run the ball a bit better than Ole Miss, but it doesn't really matter when you run the ball into Ole Miss's defensive line. So.
Yeah, no, it's been awfully tough to run on Ole Miss. I do think the running back position might be the one area where the Bulldogs do have the edge, at least as long as Henry Parrish is still out for the Rebels, which it looks like he will be for the rest of the year. But yeah, it's an awfully tough team to run on, and they're tough to throw on too, because I don't think Michael Van Buren is going to have a whole lot of time to look up. I think he'll, go through his drop back, and he'll see maybe three or four of whatever color jersey Ole Miss decides to wear on Friday right in his face. So could be a long day, or perhaps a very short day at the office for MSU.
I will say that, I think one of the, I guess, redeeming things for this season for State is that Van Buren has played and he has looked not totally out of his element. He's looked fine, right? And I think that's really all you can ask for from a true freshman. We've seen some true freshmen from his class play. Some of them have really struggled, like Isaac Wilson. Some have done really well while still being really raw, like DJ Lagway. And even Dylan Raiola at Nebraska has faced some speed bumps, right? It has not been the easiest of years for him. It's just, I think it's just hard to have a true freshman quarterback right now. But I think that Van Buren has done pretty well, especially for a guy who was 27th among freshman quarterbacks in his class.
Yeah, no, he has fans excited about the future. He really does. I mean, they've got the Hill State paint squad, which, just students who paint their chests and sit in the front row of the student section. And a couple of weeks ago, they spelled out the message MVB for president. Of course, paying homage to the fact that Michael Van Buren shares the last name with former President Martin Van Buren. But yeah, I think certainly considering his age and lack of experience, he's only going to continue to improve. And he's got a really good relationship with Jeff Lebby, who recruited him back when he was at Oklahoma. Van Buren was committed to Oregon, and then Lebby gets the job here and is able to flip him over. He also played a national schedule in high school. I did a feature on him earlier in the season, talked to his high school coach, as well as a mentor that he worked with, who also trained Caleb Williams when he was young in the Baltimore, D.C. area. So, yeah, he's got what it takes. He played some of the best teams in the country from places like California and Florida and Texas, teams that have a bunch of, you know, SEC level players on them. So he's not going to be fazed by anything he faces. And as long as he remains in Starkville, I think the future of this offense is looking up.
Yeah. I mean, you do burn the red shirt on him this year, but
I think that matters less and less in the era of the portal.
Yeah, exactly. That and, you know, just with the draft too, you know, if a guy plays really well for a couple of years, he's probably going regardless of, you know.
Yeah, he's also 20 years old. He's older than your typical freshman just because of some of the things he did just when, yeah. I don't know, but he's a 20-year-old true freshman. He's been through a little bit more just in terms of his development than probably most in his position would be. That can only help as well.
Yeah. I don't know. Just anything else with this game that you would like to mention?
I think, you know, I know the Egg Bowl is a weird one every year. I understand the rivalry aspect of it, throwing out the records, everything that comes with that, but there's never been, this is as wide as the talent gap has been in many years. It's really hard to see a way in which Mississippi State can keep this one close. Even in, at halftime, I'd be surprised if they're within even two scores.
Right. And it seems like it's just kind of one of those games, especially with the way Ole Miss plays. They're going to have to score a lot and score quickly. And I don't see.
Yeah. And then they're going to have to get off the field on third down, create some turnovers. Offensively, it's kind of a balance between going for the explosive plays and try to just keep possession. But the most important thing is just not letting it get out of hand until at least the third quarter.
Yeah, the last time I would say that this was a blowout was the 2018 game where State won 35-3, though they did end up vacating that. And before that, you would have to go back to 2016 with a 55-20 win for State over Ole Miss. So, I mean, it's really not a blowout very often, and you never know what happens with rivalry week. But I will be honest and say that if this game is close, I will finally believe in the rivalry week narrative.
Yeah, I mean, the road team has won three in a row. So it's not like the whoever is at home has that big of an advantage necessarily in this game. I'd be shocked if that streak doesn't end.
I will add one more thing. How happy are you to actually enjoy Thanksgiving this year?
It'll be good. One of our other radio guys over here is going to have some guests over. So that's really nice. Looking forward to that. Won't obviously be able to travel and be with my family, which is a bummer, but it'll be nice to not have to work on Thanksgiving Day and not have a super late night for this game either.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think we're good. Appreciate the time. Yeah, looking forward to making the trip for the game on Friday.
Yeah, I would like to give you the floor to just sort of plug anything you'd like to plug.
You can find my work on the Commercial Dispatch. Our website is cdispatch.com. I know the Daily Journal also takes a lot of my Mississippi State stuff as well. Like we take their Ole Miss coverage. That's djournal.com. You can find me on Twitter/X at BX Rosenberg. I'm also trying to join, a little bit more active on Blue Sky, which is the same handle. Haven't posted a whole lot there yet, but just sort of holding onto that in case something does happen with the X platform. So yeah, you can follow me there too.
Sounds good. Benjamin, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a good one.